They were wayside and wearied. I kept them all W's. I got them all W's. I got four W's. All right? So we had the wayside soil, and then we had the wearied soil, which represents what? The wearied soil represents the stony or the flesh. All right? So that's the second one. The wayside, we know, is they're not saved. Jesus made that very clear in Luke chapter 8 and verse 12. Right? I mean, he said in Luke, the latter part, lest they should believe and be saved. And so that we know that the first soil, the wayside soil, are those that are lost. They're not saved. The Word of God is given to them and they cannot receive it. They let it bounce right off from them. They hear what it says, but they don't mix it with faith. They don't believe upon Jesus Christ to the point where they receive Christ as Lord and Savior. That is the wayside soil. That is the hardened heart. The Bible says break up your fallow ground. Break up that uncultivated ground that represents many of the hearts today. I also said this morning there's four basic types of people in the world. You got the wayside, you got the stony, you got the thorny, and you got the good soil. And so you've got the wayside, you got the wearied. Tonight we're going to look at the last two, which is the worldly soil and the wealthy soil. Probably was wondering what that last W was going to be. And so we've got the wayside, we've got the wearied, we've got the worldly, we've got the wealthy soil. And of course, the wealthy soil brings forth some 30, some 60, some and hundredfold. And so that's what we're just going to finish it up tonight. Of course, the flesh, we talked about how the flesh gets wearied over time. I said this morning that you can believe what you want, but I lean towards, by reading the accounts, knowing that the second parable in Matthew 13 specifically talks about two different kinds of seed. We've got the good seed and we've got the bad seed, or the devil's seed, and we've got, of course, God's seed. And this parable, the first parable of Matthew 13, remember there's seven parables in Matthew 13. You don't find that in Mark's or Luke's gospel, but you do find the parable of the soils in all the Gospels, not in John's, but in the first three. It doesn't say anything about a bad seed. It's only about the good seed. And so Christ, or whoever is sowing the good seed, is, so you got the sower, you got the seed, and you got the soils. You got those three things that are the topics of the soils. And so the first two things, obviously, are good. You got the sower that is sowing the seed. You got Christ represented as the sower. And then you and I, of course, as we go out, we've been given that challenge or the conviction or the command to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we're taking the Word of God out and we're doing the sowing also, right? Pass out a tract, invite somebody to church, witness to them, give them the gospel. I mean, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Now, the harvest comes at the end. We all realize that, right? You cannot have a harvest prior to planting seed. That's impossible. It's an impossibility. And so when we look at this, and we could even get into that a little bit too, but the harvest comes towards the end. So you plant in one season, you get a harvest in another season. And of course, when you take a look at Matthew 13, that is a future type of a harvest that's taking place. But we're going to be in Mark 4 tonight, and we'll look at the last two. We've already talked about the wayside and the wearied soil, and I said the flesh gets wearied through discouragement, disappointments. The flesh gets wearied from failure. The flesh gets wearied from sin. The flesh gets wearied from sickness, right? And it's one of these things where, according to the scriptures here, the seed was planted, it germinated, it produced something, but the first one, other than the wayside, it shot up on the stony ground, and it was there for a while. And then because of persecution, because of things going on with the flesh, it kind of withered away. Doesn't mean that the salvation, if that person was truly saved, doesn't mean they've lost their salvation. Simply means that they allowed their flesh to overrun and overrule their Christian life. How many people have you known that has happened to?
Oh, yeah.
I've seen it a lot in being here almost 30 years. I've seen it a lot, and you've seen it too. Many of you that have been saved for a long time. You've seen Christians come on you know, full gun. I mean, they are, you know, grab a squirt gun. We're going to attack hell with a squirt gun. And then something happens. Something comes into their life, a change of some kind or whatever it is. And then they fizzle out. And that's really sad. It hurts when we see that. Amen. Especially the person that you might lead to the Lord. Yeah, and then you bring them along and then they seem to be doing good and then, you know, they're kind of gone. I might look at that as one of these two soils. Either the stony soil, which is the wearied soil, or this next one we're going to look at, the worldly soil. Here in Mark chapter 4, I'm just going to read a few of these verses. You don't need to stand tonight. I'll comment as I go, kind of. In verse 1 it says, "And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine." I like that word, don't you? He's equating doctrine even with his parables. You say, well, I don't know how we could get any doctrine from parables. Well, this is what the Bible says. You can get some doctrine as long as you pay close attention to what the parable is being taught. Doctrine is the teachings of the Word of God. And so this is a great way to teach. Jesus found that was the best way to teach was by using parables. Hearken, in verse 3, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, and sprang up, and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. Drop down to verse 14. The sower, and he describes this, "The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness." So there is a receiving by hearing the word there, according to this and what we looked at this morning in Luke 8, "and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended." This is very much like what we read this morning in Luke 8. Remember that word offended, according to Webster, is displeased. They became displeased over the things of God. They became displeased over the things. And that is the same thing that we see here that's going on with these particular ones. "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. Father, thank you that we could gather together again tonight. Thank you, Lord, for those that have come this evening. We pray that you bless us and meet with us here now as we continue this message about the soils. Thank you, Lord, that the sower and the seed are good. But it's the soils that we need to be concerned about. Lord, we know that in this world there are so many different people, and we look at these different soils, and it looks like this is pretty much what we see. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts tonight and bless during this message. In Jesus' name, amen. I also said this morning, and I'll just reiterate it again, that it looks like there's these four different soils, and these pretty much represent, Christ, when he gave a parable, would give a parable that represented pretty much every class and every group of people. So you got the wayside soil. These are ones that you preach, you give them a track, you invite them to church, you give them the gospel message, and it just, they don't want to hear it. Or they hear it, but they don't want to do anything with it. We see that a lot within Christianity, within maybe the place that you work, or even in church sometimes. People will come, hear the message, and then just ignore it over time. And then, of course, you have the stony ground. That's another type of a soil where the flesh gets in the way. They're very emotional. I said this morning they're like Alka-Seltzer Christians, full of fizz and can do all kinds of things, but they fizzle out is about as quick as the Alka-Seltzer fizzles out in a cup of water. And we see those kinds of individuals in sometimes even in our own churches. And then, of course, you have this one, the thorny soil. This is the third one that we're going to look at. I call it the worldly soil. The world acts as a magnet. I don't know about you, but the world acts as a magnet with me all the time. Matter of fact, let me say this. The flesh acts as a magnet all the time. My flesh and your flesh is probably our worst own enemy. Because it is constantly wanting us to do things that we spiritually we know that we shouldn't do and ought not to do. And the world is drawing us and acts as a magnet trying to pull us away from the things of God. Remember this morning we said there's three enemies to every spiritual farmer. There is the devil, which is that comes along and snatches the seed away. That's the wayside. And then we've got the flesh that we already discussed this morning, and then we've got the world. These are the three enemies that we all have. These three enemies are constantly upon those individuals that we're either preaching to or witnessing to or inviting or trying to get into the family of God. Those are the three enemies that we're always looking at. But those are the three enemies that we have even as a Christian.
Right.
We have the world, and the flesh is constantly battling us. The world acts as a magnet that is constantly pulling the Christian away from God and His Word. And you know that's true. Again, this third one, the worldly soil, remember the seed, just like the second one, the thorny soil or the wearied soil, this third one also, the seed germinates and produces something. Right? Germinates and it produces something. And so, there was nothing wrong with the seed. And there was nothing wrong with the sower. It was the soil that it fell into. That was the problem. The second one, of course, was the stony. There was not enough dirt to have roots. And then this one here is choked by the thorns. And this is the thorny soil is the, of course, the worldly soil. The world crowds out the Word. Now listen, I don't know about you, but to say that that is not a Christian to me is wrong, because I see the world trying to crowd out the Word in Christianity all the time. I see the world creeping into our churches today. I see the world creeping into Christians' lives today. I see Christians, we all are affected by the world in our life. We end up doing worldly things. We end up listening to worldly music. We end up, fill in the blank. It seems like we're constantly being bombarded trying to be drawn away by the world. And so this particular soil, for us to exclude it and say this is only a lost person, this is not a Christian, I think is wrong to say that, because I'm being attacked by the world, I don't know, maybe daily. Are you? Anybody else attacked by the world? My flesh is with me 24/7, and I'm constantly being tempted with my flesh, and I'm tempted by the world. Am I the only one here, or do I have some people that are the same way? So we cannot just say that these individuals are not saved. They're lost, and only the last soil is the same, because we struggle with these things constantly. We have to admit that we struggle with these things. And so the world is always trying to crowd us out. I think one of the biggest culprits today is technology. Technology is crowding out the Word of God. I say it a lot, but I see it in my own life at times. The television, movies, computers, smartphones, devices. Right? I mean, those things, sometimes, listen, they have their good. I'm not saying that TV is bad. I'm not saying that devices are bad. I'm not saying a smartphone is bad. It's how you use them.
Yeah, right.
We could get up and we could preach on how bad smartphones are. But at the same time, you've got a computer and you've got to be careful on how you treat your computer. You've got a television, you've got to watch what you're watching on television. So let's not just single one out. I know some preachers today, they're constant, they pound and preach against Facebook. Facebook is wicked. Facebook is awful. And this is wicked and awful, but they have a TV and they have a computer and they have a smartphone. I mean, how can you justify, how can you say one thing bad against something when Facebook has had some good things? Our missionary, the Morgans, have Facebook Live for people that can't get to church, and it spreads out all over the place. A lot of our missionaries are using Facebook to reach the lost, to reach the unreached, where they can't go. So again, you got to be careful by singling out something and by just attacking that. But we all have our hobby horses, don't we? We all have the things that we like to preach against. Because we don't do that, we preach against it. But don't preach against something that I do. That's when we get mad. See, that's when we get upset. So we have to be careful about that. But the thing is the worldly soil is always pulling us away. Let me just compare. I want to compare these passages of Scripture. I have Luke 8:14 down. I have Mark 4:19 down, which we just read. And I have Matthew 13:22. Let's look. Go over to Matthew 13 and verse 22. You should have about 10 fingers on your hand. So stick one finger in Matthew 13:22, keep a finger in Mark chapter 4 in verse 19, and then try to find a finger to put over there in Luke 8. Can you do that? I'm trying to do that myself. I only have 8 fingers? Oh, I do. I got a thumb. I have 8 fingers and a thumb. No, I have 8 fingers and 2 thumbs. All right. So find Matthew chapter 13 and look at verse 22. Matthew 13:22. Let's compare these three passages of Scripture that deals with the thorny soil, or I call it the worldly soil. Matthew 13:22, it says, "He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word." Now that's important to understand it. He hears the word of God. And the seed, again, is nothing wrong with the seed. The seed is good seed. "And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." Obviously, there was some fruit prior to this because it became unfruitful. Now look at Mark. We'll read that again. Mark 4:19. Mark 4:19 has, "And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things." See where Mark adds that? Puts that in, "and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." I'll take a look at Luke 8 and verse 14. Luke 8:14. "And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard, go forth." I'll take a look at those two words, "go forth." So this person that heard the word actually went out and did something with it. They went forth. But then it says, "and are choked with cares and riches," and then look what Luke adds, "pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection." So when you compare the three passages, you see that again Luke says cares, riches, and pleasures of this life. These are the world drawing us away. The world is always trying to get us off to do some pleasurable things. Now, is pleasure always wrong? No, I don't believe that pleasure is wrong. I believe that God wants us to enjoy the things of life. I believe that God wants us, He's given us things to enjoy. Himself, number one. Himself, number one. He's can you have pleasure in God? Of course you can. Do you have pleasure in God? That's the question. And so, but we've got all these pleasures of life. And there's nothing wrong with some good pleasure periodically, but it's what becomes the problem is when we elevate pleasure over the things of God. That's what the problem is. We elevate pleasure over the things of God. We have cares, we have riches, the pleasures of this life. Mark 4:19 and Matthew 13:22 uses this term, cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. But then Mark adds lusts of other things. Lusts of other things. So Mark makes sure that he puts in the lusts of other things. That is that lust, that drive to want stuff. And we're always being targeted by Fifth Avenue, by all the advertising that we see to be drawn to these things. We have this lust of other things. Are things wrong? No, we gotta have things. It's the love of those things. It's putting those things above God that makes it a sin. Not wrong to have things. It's wrong when things have you. You've heard that little phrase before. I've used that before. And then, of course, Mark says that choke the Word. So here you got the Word of God in your life. You got the Word of God in your heart. You're trying to live for God, but you're allowing the cares, riches, the deceitfulness of riches. You're allowing pleasures. You're allowing the lusts of other things. And those things entering into your life choke the Word of God out. Just chokes it. To the point where the Word of God has no effect or hardly no effect in your life at all. How many Christians have you seen that happen to? Amen. Many Christians, that has happened. They've allowed the world to choke out the Word of God. They've literally squeezed the Word of God out of their life. And now they've allowed all of these other things to enter in. And again, Matthew uses the term cares, the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches to choke the Word, and it becometh unfruitful. Also, we know that extreme poverty and extreme wealth and things in between can cause that same thing. People get extremely poverty, get into an extreme poverty situation, and they forget about God. They don't want to have anything to do with God. They feel that God is punishing them. And then instead of praying and doing what's right, they just ignore God and they allow the poverty to squeeze the Word of God out. And then you have the other spectrum, the other side of the whole spectrum, where riches have come into a person's life or a family or whatever, and that has pushed away God. And then there's just you and I, kind of the standard, you know, person that is somewhere in the middle of extreme poverty and extreme riches, and we allow things to choke out the Word of God. And so there's really no set group of people that this is only happening to a certain group of people. No, it can happen to anybody. Right. And so any Word of God, anybody can have this thing happen to us where we allow the Word of God to choke itself out. And we do the choking out. It's not God. God doesn't come into your life and say, oh, gotta go, see ya. I'm kind of busy today. I'll leave you alone. No, God doesn't do that. You and I choke the Word of God out. You and I allow the pleasures, the enjoyments of pleasures or the deceitfulness of riches. We allow these different things to come into our life and we choke the Word of God. We our flesh, let's say on the stony part, our flesh takes over in our life and we push God away because we would rather enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season than to allow God to work in our lives and hearts. You probably know what 1 John chapter 2 in verses 15 through 17 say. I'm sure that you know that. I've quoted it before. You've read it before. But I'm going to read it to you again. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. 1 John 2, 15. It says, love not the world. Now, I wonder why you can't love the world. Well, if you love the world, you're going to choke out the things of God. You're allowing the world to take over in your life. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And so there is this world, this pole, this magnet that is constantly on us. It's called the world and it's called the things of the world. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we're not to be conformed to the world, but transformed. There's a transformation that takes place in our life as we read the Word of God, as we apply the Word of God, as we learn it and love it and live it. There's a transformation that takes place. And we go from loving the world to loving the Word and loving God. And instead of choking the Word out, we need to be allowing the Word of God to change us. The Word of God, listen, the Word of God ought to be choking out the world, not the other way around. But we allow the world to choke out the Word, and we don't allow the Word to choke out the world and the things of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2. Oh, by the way, I'm preaching to me tonight too. Not just you. Lord already got me on this, you know, when I prepared this yesterday, but I'm getting me again tonight. I got me this morning, I'm getting me again tonight too. Ephesians 2 verse 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh, of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at verse 10. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. Again, remember, we're dealing with this worldly soil. We're dealing with the thorny soil. We're dealing with this particular soil here. And it says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, "For the love of money is what? The root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." It doesn't mean that these people have lost their salvation. It means they allowed the money in their life or the love thereof to squeeze out the things of God and push God on the outside and not allow God on the inside. They literally erred from the faith. We have to be so careful. Will you ever get anything extra in your paycheck or get some extra money in your bank account? Just be careful. God is good, folks. He's good to us. And He'll give us what we need. And He even goes above and beyond our needs. Praise God. We just got to be careful on how we don't look at that money as a god to us. We don't love it to the point where we worship it. It's needed. We need it. You cannot live this day without money. You and I know that. Go ahead and try it. You won't survive very long. We need money to survive. We need money in order to have things. And God gives us the ability to have this money, gives us the jobs, gives us the whatever, however He sees fit to give us an income, but don't allow that money to become a god to you. Thank God for it. Honor God by tithing on it. Amen. And God will keep on coming with blessings. Right? Many of us in this room, we could stop and give a testimony on how God has blessed us over the years because we're tithers. And we don't just tithe when the times are good. We don't just tithe when we have the extra money in our paycheck. We tithe even when we don't have the extra money. We tithe on whatever income we have, we tithe on it. I'm talking not just me personally, Kathy and I, I'm talking about many of us in this room. I know many of you tithe even when financially things get a little tough. But God will take care of us. Always has, always will. You and I know that the world can be a very dangerous place to live in. Amen? The world can be a very dangerous place to live in. The world is not a friend to us. It certainly wasn't a friend to Jesus Christ, and he made it very clear in John 17 that the world is not a friend to us either. It's not our friend. It is an enemy. Look at James 4:4. James 4:4. James 4:4. James 4:4 says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?" That's an enemy of God. "Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Don't allow the world to choke out the word from your life. Don't allow the world to run your life. Don't allow your flesh to run your life. Again, the question tonight is, what soil are you? Where are you? Where's the soil? Are you the wayside? I hope you're not the wayside, because if you're the wayside, you're not saved. I hope you're not the stony soil where you're a very shallow Christian. We said that this morning. You have a shallow, very shallow, tiny little relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a shallow relationship. I hope you don't have a shallow relationship with Christ. I hope that your roots go deep into the Lord Jesus Christ and deep into the Word. Maybe right now you're just growing as a Christian. Maybe you're a fairly new Christian. Maybe you just, really got things right with God. And you're growing as a Christian. That's a good thing. Keep growing. Keep going forward. I hope and pray tonight you're not that worldly soil. You're not that worldly Christian. That you've allowed the world to come into your life and just squeeze out and choke out the things of God. We see the world coming into the lives of Christians and choking out the church. Just pushing the church off to the side. Not caring about attendance. Not caring about reading. Not caring about praying. Not caring about the things of God. What has happened? Was it the flesh? Or was it the world? It was one of the two. It was one of those two that got into your life. Got under your spiritual skin, as they say. And caused, for some whatever reason, it's only you and God know that, has caused that person to kind of drift away and choke out the things of God. And then the fourth soil is the wealthy soil. The wealthy soil. This is the good ground. This is what I call the fruity soil. It's the fruity soil. This is the soil that does something with the Word of God. Those that hear the Word of God. Those that receive the Word of God. Those that understand the Word of God. Those that become doers of the Word of God. Go back to our text in Mark. Mark 4. Mark 4. Verse 20. Mark 4:20. "These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold. Some 60, and some 100. Not everybody's going to bring forth the same amount of fruit. Some people bring forth more fruit than others. You cannot sit back and judge somebody because they don't bring as much fruit that you do. I believe that the fruits that the Bible mentions, and we could do a whole study, and I've kind of done that before. Fruits, I believe, are the works that Christians do. That's the results of your salvation. It's the results of you living for Christ. It's the results of you and I getting in this book and applying this Bible to us. Those are the fruits that we talk about. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That comes as a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. If you're filled with the Spirit of God, you will exemplify the nine fruit, not fruits, the nine fruit of the Spirit, right? If you're filled with the Spirit of God, those nine things will be evident in your life, in my life. So the wealthy soil is the soil that brings forth and produces something great for God. It's the good ground. It's the fruity soil. It's allowing us to live for the Lord. Go over to John 5:24. John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Listen, you've got to hear the word of God. You got to believe on Him that sent me. That's how you have everlasting life. It's hearing the Word of God and mixing it with faith, I said this morning. You've got to put faith. What is the faith? The faith is believing upon God, believing upon Jesus Christ, and believing the Word of God combined together. That's how a person is saved, by believing what they hear and trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans 10. Look at verse 11. Romans 10, 11. Romans 10, 11. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between a Jew and a Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so this salvation is available to anybody that calls upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so those that produce fruit, the Christian that is actually producing fruit in their life. Look at John 15. And John 15 really, again, spells this out to us and really helps us to understand this thing about fruit bearing. John 15. Remember, fruit is the product of a tree that is healthy. Fruit is the product of a tree that is well pruned and well taken care of by the husbandman. That's a tree that is producing good fruit, is a tree that is cared for. And you can't produce fruit unless you are connected to the tree. That makes sense, right? I mean, how can you be an apple if you weren't connected to an apple tree, right? Or a pear tree. You're connected to the tree. That's where you get your nourishment or the nutrients that come through the soil and come up through the tree, through the sap. That's what allows the fruit to be healthy. The fruit that we read about, again, in the Scripture is the works that the Christian does as a result of salvation. The works that we do is not for salvation, it's a result of salvation. John 15, in verse 1, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me he can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. What a blessing to see. Listen, you cannot bear fruit unless you're attached to the vine, unless you're attached to the tree. If you're not bearing fruit, what does the Bible say? He cuts you off. And he casts you forth. Doesn't mean you've lost your salvation. It's like the guy, it's like the third soil that we've been talking about, the worldly soil. It's where he comes up, the thorny, everything is choked, and there's no fruit there, and it chokes out the Word of God, or it's like the rocky or the stony soil where it comes up and then it withers away. Doesn't mean that they're not, possibly it doesn't mean that they're not saved. Because in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is talking about that, and I when I look at that, it says, every branch in me. I've underlined that in my Bible. In me. That's a key. That's a key passage right there. In me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Doesn't mean that that person is lost. If you're in Christ, you're not lost.
Amen.
Thank you. I need an amen. If you're in Christ, you're not on the outside. You're in Christ. But he has to deal with, sometimes he has to deal with us because we're not doing what he wants us to do. He has to chastise us. He has to deal with us at times. Sometimes, listen, we all need some pruning. We all need, sometimes there's times in our life that we need to get right with God because maybe we're not right with God. There are times that we drift a little bit and he has to get us back in again. There's times that we allow the world to creep in or we allow the flesh to take over. And so the Lord has to get involved there with us. But again, we need to be fruit bearers. And this is the good fruit. This is the wealthy soil that we're talking about. James 2:17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Verse 18 of James 2. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. James is just saying, prove it to me. You say you're a Christian. You say you got faith. You say that you're saved. All right, prove it. There's a lot of Christians today that have a hard time proving it. So prove it. I already read Ephesians 2:10, but I'll read it again. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. We'll close with this verse. Colossians 1:10. Colossians 1:10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Healthy soil is a result of proper nutrients. Healthy soil is the result of proper watering. Healthy soil is the result of the proper sunlight. They even say that you've got to have air. Soil needs air for it to be healthy. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I, we need to have the proper nutrients. We get those nutrients from this. Amen. This is the water of the Word of God. This is where we get the nutrients that we need in order to follow Jesus Christ and to live for Him. We need to breathe Jesus Christ. We need to breathe God. We need to breathe the Word of God. We need to have that proper sunlight, S-O-N. Light. That's the type of light that we need to keep us that healthy, or I should say that wealthy soil. The fruity soil. Are you a fruity person tonight? Yeah, most of us are fruity in some way. But that's not what we're not talking about, that kind of fruity. We're talking about, are you bearing any fruit? Are you bearing at least some 30-fold? Maybe 60? Maybe 100? Don't judge somebody by the lack of fruit as long as there's fruit bearing. That's the important thing. Maybe the 30-fold needs a little extra pruning than the 100. Whatever. But listen, you're one of those soils. You are one of four soils tonight. You're either the wayside soil, which I hope and pray there's nobody that's a wayside soil tonight. Because that means you're not saved. You haven't believed, you're not saved. I hope there's no wayside. Are you the stony? Or the wearied soil. Maybe you've allowed the flesh to come in your life and overrun you and taken control of your life. The flesh will always try to control your life or my life. Maybe you're the worldly soil. You've allowed the world to creep in and it's choked out the Word of God, and you're not serving God like you know you should be serving God. You don't have the interest in the things of God like you know that you should have the interest of the things of God. Wouldn't it be great if we were all the fourth soil? Wouldn't it be great if we're all fruity soil, producing fruit, healthy or wealthy? I'm not talking wealth in a sense of money. I'm talking about the wealthy as far as some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. Are you producing fruit? That's the important. 25% of these classes in the world, only 25% the seed falls on good ground. Another 25% the seed falls on stony ground or the fleshly. Another 25% falls upon the thorny ground. And there's about 25% that falls upon the wayside soil. We don't want the wayside. We want to witness to the wayside soil, and we want to give them the Word of God in hopes that they will open up their heart and receive Jesus Christ. So examine yourself tonight, as I have. What soil do you fall? What soil category do you fall into? Wayside? The wearied? The worldly? Or the wealthy soil? You choose. Father, thank you again for the message. Thank you, Lord, for the passages of Scripture that we looked at tonight. I pray that they would have its work in our hearts. Lord, I pray that if there is anybody